Intense. Everyone is afraid of me, it seems. I thought this morning we will be a little bit more connecting with each one, with each other. And I wanted to see if there are any questions which have come up, and then I will teach you a very traditional exercise for kirtan. It's a very important, let me say, application of today's morning class, at least my part of the class, where I spoke about, lifting the anchor, so to say, and then really entering the stream of kirtan. But let me first ask, are there any questions which you have, either on what you have heard, yes, or questions in general which have come up for you? I see one question is there. Please tell me your good name again.
Ladina.
Ladina. Yes, please, Ladina.
I have been reflecting about criticizing. I mean, I fully agree that we shouldn't criticize each other. But when comes the point that we should give feedback to someone? I mean, this is not the same as criticizing.
Yeah.
When should I decide, okay, I should give a feedback? Because I also wanted someone, or we can also develop, this also means feedback to realize, okay, I should probably do something in a different
way. Yeah.
I'm not sure when I should get into a feedback, or if I shouldn't do anything at all. Because I would be happy if someone can, get out of something, or even myself, if I invite people, okay, please give me feedbacks that I don't just remain the same, that I can.
Thank you very much for your question. Feedback is something which I think should be there from the beginning to the end. I think that's the benefit of being in association. When we are all on our own, we can never get feedback. But what you have to see, when someone does something wrong, acting out of false ego and so on, he will not appreciate at all a feedback. He just cannot hear it. He doesn't want to hear it. So when there is something, I have found out that feedback is the most useful thing I have ever encountered in my life. And I know feedback can be given in an atmosphere of trust. When there is no atmosphere of trust and you hear a feedback, you will not like to hear it, nor will the other person like to hear it. So feedback requires an atmosphere of trust, really. If it's really... Now, sometimes it seems to me that you were speaking or thinking of something else. You just used a very polite word. You were thinking, what is when someone does something wrong? We should not criticize, that I agree, but can we? Do we just have to tolerate it? And have we just? Do we just have to be passive onlookers and the nonsense should go on? Well, in our tradition, there is it is said, correction is a river which flows from a higher altitude to a lower altitude. In other words, if correction is to be effective, the person who needs the correction will most probably accept it only when it comes to from a person he himself respects. So when there is someone doing something wrong and you are in a position where he thinks you are junior to him or her, or you are maybe not so knowledgeable, or some men think just by the fact that they are men, no women can tell them something. So if it's a situation like this, then it's good that you speak with someone who is seen as superior by that person, and tell them first of all, I'm seeing this. Is this correct, or did I get it all wrong? Did I understand it correctly? And then you can say, I have noticed this, and I think it is good if the person is gently corrected so that he can correct his ways. See, it's more effective like this. If you, it can be quickly corrected. Mm-hmm. But with this mandate to not get into fault finding and criticism, we do not mean to tolerate the wrong thing. No, there is a statement: you should follow the voice of your conscience, and when there is something wrong, it will be registered by your conscience, and then you have to see what can be done to correct it. The criticizing tendency, however, is there when we only see the faults of someone. You know, in our movement, we always say when someone gives you a glass of water, which is half filled, you could say the glass of water is half empty, or you can say it's half full. Wonder it. Your attitude really is important here, and decides. And you should have an attitude where you like to see the positive things. I know one saint. Once we came to him and said, "Oh, these devotees do very wrong." The saint said, "They are wonderful devotees." We thought because he was already over 105 years old, that maybe he got he heard it wrongly. So we said, no, he did this. What a wonderful person, the saint said. No, Baba, you don't understand. He did this, and Then he looked at us and said, "You don't understand. I see the sun, but you always see the clouds." Any other? Yes, Ananta. Yes.
Yeah, a few thoughts that are going in my mind. You mentioned yesterday or before yesterday that once a year you just go to Vrindavan and you deepen yourself in the holy name with them. So I saw even one DVD, some devotees they released for some years ago, and you gave this example with a piece of cloth, and you put a drop of water, and it may run over, but when you put so much water on that cloth, that the cloth can absorb the water, that DVD. So now I'm thinking that now that we are in this Kirtan course, Bhav, and we get inspired of so many things and big deeds and like that. What is the proper attitude or mindset for us, some of us may chant with Hare Krishna for a few years, some of us they chant Hare Krishna for many years, but still, like, I'm going to also do something special. Or because in the morning today we were speaking about the false ego, which mm-hmm. is also manifesting through the big deeds of spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes some devotees may have a sincere attempt to kind of do something a little extra in their spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
So by going to the holy dham and, for instance, deepen themselves in Hare Krishna and chanting, is it premature, or how is it? Or what is the right consciousness to do it?
Mm-hmm. If you want to do something very, very, which changes the world, your world and the world out there, then don't ask, what will I do? Ask the question, why do I want to do something? Everyone needs to discover their own why, their meaning of life, their purpose, which drives them out of bed early in the morning and makes their life wonderful. I think many of us have lost their why. We only think what will I do? What will I do? Let me add this. Let me add another thing. I want to tell you about a person who had discovered his why. He is a historical person. He was a worker in medieval Germany, 15th century. His friend had a vision to build a cathedral where there was no cathedral before. I mean, in the environment or nearby there was no cathedral. But this man with the vision had absolutely no means money. No, he didn't even have a piece of land which was large enough. All he had is the permission of his friend to use the, here comes the difficult word, quarry. You know what is a quarry? Quarry is where you can break the stones out of the hill. Usually you get a hill, and the hill is made out of rock, and then when it's a good hill with good rock, they take the rock out and they make like building blocks like this. Can you see, is someone here who knows proper English? Quarry, isn't it?
Quarry.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. Perfect.
I knew a good word. Yes. So, he had only access to a quarry. Everyone knows what is a quarry? You are from Netherlands. So they understand German. Steinbruch. Does it say something to you?
No. You can give an explanation.
Yeah. Who of our English, good English people know?
A quarry is an area, like Swami was saying, where there's a big hill and they start blasting, with dynamite to break off rocks.
It's like kind of mine.
Kind of like a mine, but not underground.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
And then they get the rocks, and then they have to work on them to bring them into the right shape so that it can be used for building sites, houses, cathedrals, etc. So everyone understands what's a quarry?
No.
No.
I will use it.
Yeah, you have a translator there. Yeah. Good. International group. You understand, Sunil. Good. You understand.
Yeah, in Swedish is Stenbrock.
Stenbrock, yes. Steinbruch, yes. Yes. So.
Una cantera. I was telling her in Spanish.
Yeah? What? Good, good. So he was, one day this man with the vision went to the Kantera and was inspecting his workers who were working with the stones. And he found one, it was a cold day, the snow was coming down, and he found a worker and said, what are you doing? And the worker was a little upset. Can't you see? I'm building one of these building blocks here. The man with the vision continued and to another worker. And this man also was there with a little iron thing, a chisel and a hammer, working away on this building block. And he asked, what are you doing? And he also said, quite disturbed and moody, I'm making a building block. Thank you. Then he went to the third person. The third person was also completing a building block. But he gave the man an entirely different answer. When this third man was asked, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a cathedral. Mm-hmm. He was not in the what dimension, what do I do? Mm-hmm. He was in the why dimension. Why was he doing something? And this why dimension, I feel all of us have to discover for themselves, to be enthusiastic, to be empowered, to do what they are. So you have asked me what to do to become more immersed. And my answer is, find out your glowing yes. Find out what inspires you. Find out what gives you the deepest reason, the deepest sense of purpose in what you do. And then the what doesn't matter any longer for you. You will align or connect or harmonize whatever you do with that inner purpose and so on. A person, for instance, who has discovered the why dimension in kirtan, he is happy and ecstatic in all kirtans. Whenever he sings, you find him dancing and smiling, because it's no longer about the external things, the music, the beats, the voice, and so on. It's about the deeper, the why dimension of kirtan. Why do we do kirtan? We do it to come into the presence of God. It's a very good question. I thank you so much. It is something which I am working at the present moment, because, see, in my life there are so many invitations, so many what I can do, and I'm seeing I'm burning myself out, although I have a jumper which was given to me by Manu. It says high voltage. I see my voltage is going down because of all the millions of watts which I do. You have to know, why are we doing this? And it has to be an inspiring why. It has to be your why, Ananta. So I'm discovering this to make the selection, what projects I'm getting into, and it will be only the projects which are connected with my why. Why am I here? Why am I? What is my dharma? And this is a question which leads to dharma. Mm-hmm. Any other question? Anyone has another question? Yes. What is your good name again?
Ratnamala.
Oh yeah, please.
Maharaj, I wanted to ask them, how do we tolerate a situation or a person? Like, how should we go about tolerating in our life?
Uh-huh.
And especially if we're trying to become a devotee and
I think you must have something in your mind, and I understand that this is not the appropriate forum to disclose it. Is it a person or is it a situation?
A bit of both.
A bit of both. You are with a person in a certain situation, in other words. you're getting slightly uncomfortable in case I would ask them do more probing into the... I won't do this. I respect the privacy. Okay. And your question is how to tolerate it.
Yeah.
I would say maybe there's another question you should ask. Is it something I should learn to tolerate, or is it something I should try to correct? I think that is the first question. If you come to the conclusion that it is something you should tolerate, then I will now try to answer the question. To tolerate is possible when you go from the smaller picture into the bigger picture. Let me explain what I mean with this. The smaller picture would refer to that thing, let us call it thing, which annoys you at the present moment, which gets on your nerves. It could be a situation at your working place. It could be a situation where in your private life where there is a person who always gets you in the wrong way and gives an unnerved reaction is there. So if you look at the smaller picture, it is a little bit... too much, and it gets on your nerves. Now try to enlarge the picture. Go into a little distance and ask, well, why is the person acting the way they are? What are their needs which they try to fulfill in this way? Or if it's a situation, what caused the situation to be the way it is? Then you go into an even bigger picture. It's almost like, changing the focus so that you can see more. See, what did I do to cause this person to be like this? What did I do that the situation is the way it is? When you ask this third question, where you are ready to take responsibility, you do something very important. You slip out of the victim role. As long as you are in the victim role, you have no chance to change anything because there is an overwhelming situation, a person who overwhelmed you with his or her energy. And a victim is always like, oh, I'm a victim. He is on his back, so to say, defeated by the situation or the person. But if you ask, what did I... do to cause the situation? Why am I in this situation? You begin to slip out of the victim role and come into the role where you have an influence on the situation. Tolerate is possible if to tolerate something if you move from the smaller picture, essentially the victim role, into the bigger picture, and see what you have to do with this. I would like to give you an example. I had a surgery done to me in the end of January, I believe, and there was no other way for me than to tolerate the pain which is coming after the surgery and the weakness and so on. And I decided to say, well, this is what it is. It is going to take some time and so on. But I postponed the surgery, and now it was a little hefty, the surgery. But now I took my responsibility, I noticed how everything was shifting, and I also became joyful that I did the surgery. Then I took more responsibility of my in my life. If you take a little responsibility, more ability to take more responsibility will come. And I decided, I remember very much, the surgeon said, don't move, don't drive anywhere. But there was this wonderful festival which we have once a year in Radhadesh. It's called Radhadesh Mellows. Have you visited? It's a must. It's a 3 days of chanting from 12 hours, I believe, each day we do. Is it 12 hours, Manu?
Yes.
12 long hours, or short hours, is very short, because we 12 short hours we chant each day. And I came and I noticed I could chant here with the devotees. I was not always I was not able to dance very joyfully. I did not dance at all, in fact. What I want to say is, tolerance is requiring more strength than just entering into the victim role. Gandhi once said, it requires much more strength to be non-violent than to be violent, you know. So the tolerant position is where you actually don't react, but you take on what is your part of the situation, and you take on a responsibility, and you act from that position, and more and more you will see after some time that the whole situation changes. You need to come out of the victim role. This is, in the victim role, nothing good can happen. It's victim role means to be stuck in the past. You have to tolerate some things. You wouldn't be in this situation, Ratnamala, if you wouldn't have something to learn. Because whether you believe it or not, the universe unfolds just like it should. Always. There's always a plan behind it. But you can only recognize it if you get out of the victim role. It's a conscious step, and then you can learn from any situation what the good universe wants to teach you. Even if it's a tough lesson. There can be tough lessons sometimes. But the tough lessons, Namala, are usually the most effective lessons. I have noted. Get out of the victim role, take responsibility, understand you are not by chance in this situation, and from this taking a little responsibility, your strengths will grow so that eventually everything tips and changes. Our Bhakti Gamya, who's one of our most blissful students in this course. No, everyone notice. The association of the other. Yeah, it's a good association also, yes. Yes, yes, Bhakti Gamya.
So you spoke of us as spiritual beings, and
yes,
we have a conditioned nature,
yes,
to exist in this world. And I was just wondering, because I find that sometimes I have desires, you know, to progress, you know, but then, you know, spiritually and so on. But also I find that I'm adjusting to other people or adjusting to situations. So I was just wondering, at what point is that adjustment too much? So I'm not really
yourself any longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you are all asking very practical questions about life. Yes, yes. How endearing your questions are. Ah, Krishna. Yes, yes. You know what I have to do? I live another life than you. After all, I'm an old man. I'm an old monk, and I'm doing this almost. I mean, a long time. And I have to now explain things that in a way that they're useful for a younger person. Ah, Krishna. Adjustment becomes problematic when you lose yourself. I'm giving lectures to children. I don't know if you know, but I have every 2 weeks, sometimes 4 weeks, it depends how much I travel, the toughest audience in the world. These are the children of the castle. Where I live, there is a castle called the Dharma Castle, where there is a devotee community living, and they have children, and I always have a children lecture for them. The reason was that I give lectures there to grown-up people, and the children always wanted to come, and then they are restless at a time, or it gets boring. So I decided, if I sent them out, I used to send them out always, and they used to hate me. and spiritual life, they used to hate also, because whenever the Swami comes, he rejects us. That was the message which I sent them. So I decided to give children lectures so that I could give grown-up lectures. Because if they had their lecture or their attention, they were willing to not be there when the program for the grown-up people came. So now some of the children are in puberty, and that's a difficult age for the parents, where the children have to define themselves new. And I needed to explain something to the children, that they stay themselves even when they go to school, and you know, and don't adjust too much, but stay themselves. And I told them a little story which I want to tell all of you also. There was once a lioness. The lioness was hunting, and came, and as she was crossing a valley, she saw the perfect prey, goats, they can't run very fast, and they are very weak, and so on. So the lioness felt great joy because she was not so swift any longer as she was. And then ran after a goat, and all of a sudden felt a terrible pain. Oh no, what is this? And she had to lay down and gave birth to a little lion. This was a bad omen for her. In the midst of a hunt, I'm giving birth? Nothing ever good can come out of this lion. And in great disgust, she left the goat herd and her little baby and went into the forest. So the abundant little lion was lying there, and one she-goat felt deep motherly affection to the little lion and actually suckled him. And the lion stayed with the herd. It became a very, very powerful, strong he-lion, the mane and everything. But because of being only in association with goats, the lion thought himself to be a goat. He changed his... he lost himself, you can say. The shepherd appreciated the lion because since the lion was there, no wild animals dared to attack the herd. And the shepherd gave him the name Likinko. Likinko is a goat name, in case you don't know. So the herd was protected until the day where a big old lion found the same valley and began to chase the goats. First he separated the goat herd in two to decide where are the better goats. He wanted to kill a few to have enough to eat for a month. And then he was strategic very well. And then he found what appeared to be the leading goat and got ready for the killer jump. And as he was in the air looking at his victim, he saw Likinko, a grown-up lion, making this goat sound. I don't know about how they make the sound. Mecha, 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 you know, something like this. And if this was too much, he was bewildered and confused. He couldn't continue his leap. He just came down. He almost broke his hand, or what it's called, his paw, and said, "Brother, what are you doing?" Likinko heard him, but he answered back in the goat language. That was the only language he knew. The old lion said, this person needs serious psychotherapy. And he hinted at the Likinko and brought him to a lake. And then he pointed at his image and said, "What is this?" Likinko said, I think he had no Dolmetscher with him, but he said something like a lion in the goat. "Don't speak to me in the goat language. You understand me, no?" So Likinko somehow understood because he was a lion. And he said, "This is a lion," said the old lion. "Now look at your reflection. What is that?" And Likinko said with strength, "That's a lion." He went back to the goat herd. He had one big meeting. He said, "I'm not one of you any longer. I know I'm a lion. I'm meant for the forest, for the freedom, for the wilderness. But I'm grateful to you that you brought me up. Whenever there's a problem and you need me, call me. Call me by the name Li Kinko. So he became a powerful, good protector lion, you could say, because he had woken up to himself and rediscovered his lost self. I think some of us need to rediscover our lost selves. That's one of the side effects when we do kirtan. As we discover our authentic spiritual voice in which we praise Krishna, we wake up from the dream of conditioned existence. It is said just like someone bitten by a snake who is in coma and has forgotten himself can be awakened by a mantra. There are snake doctors who pronounce a mantra in your in the comatose person who is lying there being bitten by a cobra. So in the same way, you can be wakened up by a mantra. Your soul, the real Bhakti Gamya, who is on her way to Bhakti, pure Bhakti, can be awakened. Hare Krishna, don't lose yourself. And sometimes adjustments are necessary. We all have to exist or interact in the social context in which we are. But you have to see when you start losing yourself, like Li Kinko did, then something needs to be done. And you need to meet another lion, most probably, who helps you to wake up and rediscover yourself again. Beautiful tale, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's how the Indian, you know, yes, there is this, I could tell you the same thing with very abstract philosophy, but in India there's that way of teaching, intellectual philosophy, but most of it is done in stories for the people who are not studying the philosophy for many hours a day. No? They can have the same thing through stories.
Thank you.
Good. Should we maybe close the question and answer session for now? I can just see I want to do something short before the pause. Oh yeah, you are ready? No. Maybe the pause is very soon.
Okay.
Today will be easy. We will just do one very powerful exercise in the second part. I thought it's good if we relax a little bit the speed, so to say, and have a little interaction. Is that all right, Bhuta Bhavana? In case you don't know Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu, he gives many seminars, and if you have questions and you want to find answers from someone who's really on a very high level of understanding spiritual philosophy but also psychology, you can meet Bhuta Bhavana in the pauses, and he is a friendly person. He will hear you and give good advice. I thought this morning you have heard that in spiritual life there is a main anchor. Who remembers this anchor?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The false ego.
The false ego. What is it consisting of?
Me and mine.
I and mine. Who said? Thank you. Your good name? Nina?
Vina.
Rina. I'm breathing a sign of relief. I know the name now. I thought Veena. Yes. So, Rina. Yes. And then you identify like our Swami did. I'm an Englishman. When do you get it? How lovely, isn't it? How he did it so real that I thought. Because sometimes even a Swami can have this ego, this spiritual ego. Oh, better not talk about it. It's one of the shadows of spiritual life. Yes, I and then my the extended I, my property, my opinions, my this, my that. This is the false ego. So any spiritual practice without severing this chain of false ego does not give full results. And it is sad to say that in many yoga and spiritual circles, including our own movement, you do find this ego, which can be translated into narcissism, you know, and overly absorption in one's own self, an unhealthy amount of absorption in the I and mine. There is one very effective practice which I would like to introduce in theory here and then in practice after your pause. It's called Bhuta Shuddhi. Bhuta means basically the material elements, and Shuddhi means to purify. Bhuta Shuddhi is a practice which is done in traditional Vaishnavism before any substantial spiritual practice. It is a practice whereby which you disidentify. You step back from I and mine. You retrace from the illusion and come to the spiritual reality. It's a meditative practice which is done, for instance, before worshipping the deities. When the priests, before they go on the altar, they sit down for the Bhuta Shuddhi meditation and purify themselves from the understanding that, let's be local here, I'm a Belgium person and I'm a man or a woman or whatever, and they do their service from the position of the soul. I'm a spiritual being. That is what priests do before entering the altar or performing a homa. But the guidebook for Vaishnav behavior, Hari Bhakti Vilas, says, without this Bhuta Shuddhi, all spiritual acts do not yield result. And they list japa, that's what you do, homa means sacrifices, puja, etc. The Bhuta Shuddhi is a meditative process whereby you become aware of your spiritual identity. The mantra which is chanted, I will read it to you in English. It comes from the Pancharatra Pradipa. I am by nature a soul. Maybe you have it in your guide.
In the handout.
In the handout.
On page 10.
Thank you. I I didn't bring my... No, here, I think. Let me find my... Here, I have a handout out. Page 10, you say?
Yes.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, Buddha Shuddhi meditation. Let us all... Who can read very nicely in English language? May I request you to read? Could you please... Slowly, for easy comprehension.
I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna, but because of my misfortune, I've been inimical toward him since time immemorial. I have been identifying myself with the body and been continuously wandering in the repeated cycle of birth and death in the material world, suffering the burning threefold miseries. Now, as a result of some unimaginable good fortune, by the mercy of my spiritual master, I know that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, that I am an infinitesimal spiritual being, completely apart from the gross and subtle body. Now, by order of my spiritual master, following his footsteps, I have obtained the good fortune of being able to serve his lotus feet and the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha Shamasundara.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. How nicely you have read. Now, of course, this is very tradition specific. That it relates to the Vaishnava tradition, but the same idea you can find in other lineages, that you consciously take yourself away from the material identifications. In one lineage, for instance, you sit down and meditate and rise the fiery element in your body, in the mind, not with a match. You burn your body until it is a pile of ash, and then you imagine that a drop of nectar, God's nectar, comes on that pile of ash, and out of the ashes comes your new being. Hare Krishna. Madhumati looks at me with eyes full of wonderment, I believe. This is astonishing. Yeah. No, this is a mystical tradition. Tantra, this is in the Tantra tradition. I like these things very much. I feel some... I was something else in my previous life, and some things look very familiar. You have that in the Greek mythology, the Prometheus who rose out of the ashes, the new man, not the old, who has transformed from the and has improved on his inherent talents and so on. The same idea is there in the Vallabha Sampradaya, in different spiritual teachings. It's always an idea to come to the spiritual soul. My spiritual master, who had the duty to explain complex spiritual knowledge in a very simple way so that we Westerners could grasp it but not lose the essence, he once said, "All spiritual life starts with the understanding that I am not the body. I am an eternal soul." Does this sound familiar to some of you in the room? Huh? The same thing. That's where you start. From there, you have the fundament from which you go. You know the Bhagavad Gita, of course. Do you know how Krishna, after Arjuna has surrendered to him and asked to become his disciple, at which point he opens his teachings? Second chapter, of course. And what is the content of the second chapter? What is the content of the second chapter? Where does he start? He starts explaining. Arjuna, never was there a time where you nor all these soldiers before you on the battlefield, nor all these kings have not existed. They exist now and they will also exist in the future. Then, how Umesh will exist in the future? Ananta will exist in this future? Madhumati will exist in the future? How? Well, maybe not in this form. Not maybe, for sure, not in this form. This form will die and will disintegrate. But you will exist in the future as pure spiritual souls. Maybe in another form, maybe beyond. So, yes, this is the Buddha Shuddhi meditation. And after your pause, we will actually do a guided meditation and then enter as pure spiritual souls into kirtan. And it will be maybe the first kirtan you ever did. What? We did so many kirtans. No. With that foundation. I will see you punctually. Should we have a generous 15 minutes, I think. A generous 15 minutes. After 15 minutes.
Hare Krishna. I was wondering if you would like some translator books in Romanian. Because I was
Romanian
thinking
language.
Yeah, I speak Romanian and I would really love to do this, but I'm not sure if.
Do you know the Romanian language?
Yeah, I was born there, so I spoke. 15 years I lived there and then I moved to Scotland. But.
And you still read Romanian language? Are you fluent in the language?
Yeah. Speak with my family. And
oh yeah. Okay. Now what we could do is we could give you a small book like The Art of Transformation. That is, you thought of that. Fine. And then we can. We would have to see. Do we have temples in Romania? I think so.
I don't know if they're temples or just small centers.
Is Sofia in Romania?
No, in Bulgaria.
Yeah, Bulgaria. Yes. Can you give me the capital town?
And Timișoara, Bucharest is the capital.
Bucharest?
Yeah, but I don't think there's anything in Bucharest. There is one in my hometown, a small center. In the other part of the country.
Yeah. Thank you very much for offering this. The reason I'm thinking is because you need to have an understanding where to, how to distribute the books, then there should be customers, and because you are you don't. I remember you said something about Scotland.
Scotland.
Where?
In Edinburgh.
Yeah. Because you are there, we have to find out if there is a market. But we could always, you can always put it on the internet and have that. Nowadays, e-books are also very much read. I heard even that some people prefer to get an e-book rather than a small book. What I would love to do is, I would love to introduce you to one of my secretaries who's now with me, and she knows the different teams which I have. I'm a little bit away from the world, so to say. And then we can see how to proceed.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your enthusiasm. Hare Krishna. Bhakti Gamya. Really, I'm so happy to see really how you are so inspired. I could see and see. I know you from the quite early when you came to Krishna consciousness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you came to the Buckland Hall retreats, and you were so inspired and so joyful and so curious and so on. And then I felt that went a little in the background. But now it seems to come out again in full strength.
It's just your kindness and mercy.
I really like the old ones.
Maybe it was after the initiation that it did something to you. I think you tried to fit in a box, and then after the initiation that helped.
It helped tremendously, really. The initiation helped tremendously.
Good. Hare Krishna. So, Ananta Gaurangaji, you are here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Then, good. Hare Krishna. Have we closed this also?
Yes.
We can? Yes? Please close it. I wanted to show you a few slides so that the images which we will invoke, the image of the mantra being like a stream, evokes more familiarity in you. Let us see, have we informed all the devotees that we... I saw two people. You're here. Okay, I see you're back. Okay, let us maybe start. What I wish to do is, I wish to, in this session, give you a little taste of Buddha Shuddhi meditation by introducing a meditation to you, which hopefully will bring you to a place from where kirtan will be a little bit more deeper. I want to bring you to the spiritual platform, the platform of the soul. So, here we are already. Beautiful. Yes. Can we maybe, extinguish this? I think the colors are good enough, isn't it? It's a little bit like this. I can also see this is the Yamuna builder, oder? This is a sacred place in India called Vrindavan. Could you please show your hands if you have been there? Oh, most of you. Then you recognize this picture. It's Keshi Ghat, a bathing ghat at the sacred river Jamuna. The Jamuna has three dimensions. On one level, it's just water. On a higher level, it's spiritual energy, Shit Ananda, as they say. And on the third level, it's a divine goddess. It's just like one of us is from Rishikesh, and that's the place of the Ganga, where Ganga is very beautiful. And the Ganga can be seen on three levels also, as the watery element, river, as a divine energy, and that's why we feel when we are near to Ganga, very protected, very elevated, very upbeat. And she can also be seen, and in fact is worshipped, as a goddess. So I always recommend, when you are in the Yamuna, to take a boat, one of these boats, and just have very nice contact with Yamuna. Last year, was it last year or the year before last year, Gaura Hari, who is also here, organized a boats party. We went on a boat and we went to a wonderful ashram on the other bank of the Yamuna. It was in a jungle situation, and we did kirtan there. Now, when we returned, we also took another boat. In fact, it was the same boatsman. We told him, go to that place, we will meet you in 7 or 8 hours. And it was evening time, I remember. It was a time like this. When it became a little bit darker, Gaura Hari and his wife brought out artic paraphernalia, and we performed an artic as the sun was setting. And never forget how divine the atmosphere became, because we felt that the goddess, we were relating to the goddess, not the H2O or the water, but the goddess Yamuna. And do you remember, Gaura Hari, when we put our lights, which we had in leaf cups, in the water, and our boat glided away from these lights, how they were full of light, even, I mean, long distance of a few hundred meters, we would see them. And I was reminded of the soul's position in this world. It is very, very beautiful and very nice atmosphere. Pious people go and take their bath in the Yamuna. They often will pray many prayers, and Yamuna Devi often hears them and responds to them. Really, the whole bank of the river Yamuna is one singular temple, because there are so many pujas going on. Here you see the lotus feet of Yamuna Devi. Here is Yamuna Devi, who is worshipped as the goddess. I have a friend who is dear to many of you, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, who used to sleep at the banks of the Yamuna in... Is it going automatically? You are very fast today. This picture very much captures for me what is going on in the Yamuna. Somehow the atmosphere of the goddess reaches your heart and soothes your heart, so that you can see many times pilgrims like these are talking. This pilgrim there who's sitting might meditate. One is really engulfed or surrounded by this atmosphere. Mm-hmm. This is what it's a typical light. It's a leaf cup. It's made out of a leaf. It's folded in a special way, and then some little stickers are put there to hold the leaf in this shape. And then the leaf cup is filled with flowers, and in the midst Givik is placed and burnt, and the flame is then lovingly offered to Yamuna, who seems to accept it with her hands. Big hands here. These are lotus flowers. I would like to say with confidence that they are lotus flower naturally grown in the Yamuna. But there is unfortunately an issue nowadays. We human beings sometimes put our dirt on Yamuna Devi. But this is, some pilgrims brought the lotus flowers. They used to grow like this in the waters of the Yamuna. Beautiful photo, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And nectar bees would come humming, drinking the nectar of the flower pollen. Here you see the different, the Yamuna Arati is going on. This is an, this has been introduced maybe 10 years ago, and the example has been taken from Haridwar, where in Harkapuri, each night a voluminous Ganga Aarti is done. I remember last year we were invited to participate right there where all the pandits were waving their huge, huge lamps with which have up to 100 giviks. But here smaller offering lamps are offered by these pious ladies. Up till today, in the Yamuna, there is India's most divergent, or I hope that's the right English word. Many, many species of birds are there. Beautiful. I like this photo very much because, in a way, it expresses a spiritual theme. When a spiritualist dies, he will say, "My boat has come to bring me to the other side." So I hope that for all of us, the boat will come, the kirtan boat, at the end of our life, and will carry us to the spiritual world. This is our last photo. We will leave it here because it is quite evocative for and suitable for what we wish to do now. So our little band is ready. Good. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, I would like to now guide you in a meditation which will help you to come more in contact with who you are as a soul. And I request you then to sing the holy names from this position. Remember, in the theoretical part, we quoted one ancient scriptures which said, "Without purifying our consciousness from all this aham and mameti, all these material identifications, all spiritual acts will not yield the entire result or the complete result. It will remain incomplete to some degree." So now in this exercise we will remove our layers which are over ourselves, at least meditatively. I need to tell you, you can't do this in one meditation. It will take a whole life to really become free. For some of us, several lifetimes. But it by kirtan, we are informed the coverings of the consciousness are removed quite quickly. So I'm very much looking forward to this exercise. We might require Rina's help here. Could you please open the window, and when it gets unpleasantly cold, you could close it again. You are our window minister. Good. Because we will in the beginning close our eyes, don't worry, for only a few minutes. It will be a kirtan meditation. I would like you to look around first a little bit to make yourself familiar with the space, so that you can then retract and go within. Look, we are in a very safe place, vault left and right, to our left and right side are holy books. What could be a better environment as we will go for our little journey? We will please do not close your eyes at this time. We will just sharpen our sensory apparatus a little bit. Sit tall and just focus on the sounds that you presently hear. What sound do you hear in the room? Oh, that was a sneeze. Maybe you can hear the soft humming of the projector. Now become a little bit sensitive to the sounds outside. Do you hear something? Maybe you hear our friends, the birds in the trees. Now focus on your breathing. You can leave your eyes open still. Become aware of your ingoing breath and your outgoing breath. Just be present in the present. In other words, be with your breath, because that's the only thing you do at the present moment. It might help you now to close your eyes to focus better on your ingoing and outgoing breath. I know for some people they prefer electroshocks, according to one study, to being alone with themselves. But I think you are spiritual enough that you are not afraid to just shut down all your thoughts and just be with yourself and your breath. I will read a spiritual text to you now, and kindly be very aware of what you hear. I am by nature an eternal part of God, but because of my own misfortune, I have turned my back towards him since time immemorial. I have been identifying with the body and have been continuously wandering in the repeated cycle of birth and death in the material world. I have suffered rough climate, hostile living entities, and I've seen many times the limitations of my own body and mind. Now, however, my fortune has turned. As a result of some unimaginable good fortune, by the mercy of a great spiritual teacher, I have come to know that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, that I am an infinitesimal spiritual being, completely apart from the gross and subtle body. I have obtained the good fortune of being able to serve the Supreme Lord. Now mentally invoke the image of a holy river, maybe Jamuna, maybe Ganga, let the image come. How does the river look like? How do the banks of the river look like? Are you alone or are there other people with you? Now slowly move forward and into the river. Take a dip 3 times and notice how your material identity recedes with your first dip. The bodily identification goes. The I am an Englishman or Romanian. A Frenchman or French lady. It goes. It's a little like a little dark. And then it goes. With the second dip, the identification with the mind goes. Your thoughts, your concepts, your moods, it all floats down the river. With the third dip, the identification with the false ego vanquishes. No more I and mine. What is left is a pure soul. What is left is the real you. What is left is the real I. Now in your mind's eye, see the beautiful deities of your worshipable Lord and Mistress, the Beloved, on the other bank, the opposite bank of the river. Turn to them in the kirtan. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama
Rama, Hare Hare,
Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Jai Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram,
Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare
Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Please sing now from all your heart. Please collect whatever is not with you. Bring it all in your expression. In a way, when we come before God, we are naked. That means the covering of our illusory identification, which brings so much trouble to us. We can leave it behind. It's the one person where we can be the real person which we are. He will understand and love us. Please let us all sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Jaya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Oh Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Everybody please Hare Krishna Last time, please. Hare Krishna. Request you now to turn to your neighbor and just speak with them or with him or her about how this went for you. And on a broader sense, how do you think chanting from the soul platform as opposed to chanting from the false ego, means your own stuff, your own thoughts, could
could help you to enter deeper into the experience of chanting. Is the question clear? How did it go for me? Everything you feel good to share. Also, if it did not go well, that's also a valuable, very valuable realization. Then you can see, yeah, how, why not, and what was in you that did not, you know, anything which is real, what is of the real substance, which is of the rock of life, the unchangeable rock of life, is good to dig out. And then how can this help you in your kirtan to chant from the soul's position as opposed to chanting from the false ego position? Yes? Yes, you can be a three. No problem. Look as if you have some very profound point where you very not. Yes, this is like it is. Please, I don't want to interrupt. I'm going to go to the next one.
I'm going to go to the next one.
You have two more minutes. Two more minutes. Was it helpful for you? Yeah? Good. Yes. We were talking a little bit about it in the positive sense about spiritual identity and all. But this is how it starts. We are not the body, you know, we are soul. Yeah, we have to start somewhere. So, Hare Krishna, was it helpful for you? It's very helpful when you share. Do you notice because someone else has seen something which you have not noticed so much, but as they share with you, you look through that perspective, the perspective which the other person shared, and then you discover something which was there but which you overlooked. That happens. I wanted to say something how you can take this with you in your daily practice and in the kirtans which we will do. See, very often in kirtan you don't need to do what we just did, you know, that dip in the water and then the first dip, our this identification with the body went with the second, the identification with the mind, with the third, the identification with the ego. These are just some tools which we can do sometimes, but ultimately these tools are tools of the world. We use our mind and imaginary, the art of imagination. Thank you, Sunil, for this word. We use imagination, and this is all constructs of the mind. We want to come to the real spiritual platform, and that real spiritual platform can come when you just, while you chant, bring your mind again and again back to the pure sound of the holy name, and let the pure sound of the holy name, which has a lot of potency, inherent potency, purify your mind from the layers of mental identification of or identification with the thoughts, and the layer of identification with the body. That will work wonders if you can learn. I just wanted to approach the subject of becoming free from identifications, from going from down to up, mm-hmm. by using our mind to you know, imagine that we are not the body and that we are not the mind. That is an we call it in philosophy the ascending process. But real spiritual life ultimately is a descending process. In other words, a power much, much superior to your mind and your imaginations works at your heart and purifies it. Mm-hmm. Is this clear? I'd expressed it hopefully easy and comprehensible. No? Meditations are still belonging to the ascending process, where you try to climb on the raindrops to the cloud. In other words, you make a mental effort and so on. The descending process works much better, where you allow the spiritual vibration to do all the work. Hmm. But still, we need to also know a little bit in which way we orient ourselves. What is our inner orientation? And really, believe me, if you can cut the iron chain which binds you to the world, this wrong identification of the ego, then everything is easy. If you maintain it and keep it, you can become a big kirtan star. You can leave this course and you are ready to make your first CD because you got it, you understood the harmonium player. But you will miss the real essence of the kirtan, which is an act of grace. And the kirtan is an act of grace. What do you think, Ananta Gauranga? It is like this, isn't it? You can speak about this with Ananta Gauranga if you wish. Ananta Gauranga in New York City at the Union Square, that's a busy square, isn't it? It's every day, except for when he takes a holiday, he chants 6 hours. Poof. Every day, just singing and playing Madanga and everything. Yeah, so this was a good session. We did some practice here. I want to thank you very much for your kind participation. You're a very encouraging and inspiring group. You know the rest of the program is like always, 7 o'clock under the cherry tree or wherever. I think
five,
now
five,
here.
Five
yeah, sorry, 5 o'clock. Five, thank you. 5 o'clock here, somewhere here, is the Japa session with Gaurahari. And 7 o'clock is the Aratik. But if you want to eat something, then that's also good. 7:30 we continue with our dramatic readings from the life of Haridas Thakur in the temple room. Have a nice lunch and a restful sleep afterwards, if you wish. Hare Krishna.